Good evening, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown and 44 Days Radio Sinoland. This is a new Moscow-Beijing Express podcast on the Saker. Today is September 3rd, 2015. It will be cross-linked on 44 Days website, but I strongly encourage you to read this article on the Saker, www.thesaker.is. He offers information, news, and reports about Russia, the Ukraine, and across Asia that cannot be found anywhere else that I know of. The title of today's podcast is From May 9th in Moscow to September 3rd in Beijing, the anti-West order comes full circle. Let's begin. On May 9th, 2015, in Moscow, Chinese President Xi Jinping sat to the right of Russian President Vladimir Putin to leisurely watch Russia's 70th anniversary Victory Day parade over fascism. After giving a short, solemn speech, Putin took a relaxed, friendly approach, chumming it up with Xi, his wife Peng Liyuan, Kazakhstani President Nursultan Nazarbayev, and decorated Russian veterans of World War II, while enjoying a beautiful azure sky spring day. There was a subdued but festive atmosphere of celebration in the air. This is a venerable parade, having been conducted annually since 1945, and it showed. For Russians, it is a part of their collective socio-political DNA, and it is celebrated simultaneously in 26 other cities across the country, much like July 4th in America and July 14th in France. Russia's military might was in full regalia, and China's People's Liberation Army, the PLA, marched with the Russian Red Army, along with India's and eight more visiting countries, mostly from the CSTO, the Collective Security Treaty Organization. The Soviet Union slash Russia have a tradition of inviting fraternal armies to march in this parade, but women soldiers marched for the first time ever. It was the largest parade in Russia's history. The message was clear. We will not stand for another rise of world fascism. If you have any doubts, we are ready to battle for global freedom and peace, and we have friends who are ready to help. Today, on September 3rd, 2015 in Beijing, it was a beautiful early fall day with a cloudless azure sky. President Xi Jinping stood with Putin on the dais of Tiananmen Gate to watch over China's 70th anniversary Victory Day parade over Japanese aggression and world fascism. Unlike Russia's May 9th parade, Beijing's was a somber, reflective occasion full of gravitas. It was China's inaugural parade to fet a brand new national holiday in recognition of the sacrifices of the Chinese people during World War II, and it was China's biggest parade ever. The two other world leaders closest to President Xi on the dais were South Korean President Park Geun-hye and Kazakhstani President Nursultan Nazarbayev. Nazarbayev was close by in both parades for a very good reason. He is the founding father of the concept of a unified pan-Asian economic and security bloc from Belarus to China, where the Imperial West cannot use its massive naval advantage to control the world's biggest continent. It was his vision that helped inspire Putin's Eurasian Economic Union, abbreviated EAEU or EEU, and Xi's Silk Roads and Belts Initiative. In Beijing, 17 visiting countries' armies marched with the PLA, including Russia's. The Russian troops were the last foreign detachment to march in the parade. This meant they were closest to the Chinese troops, who were right behind them, thus symbolically honoring Russia's lead and linking the two countries' histories, sacrifices, and militaries together. Like on May 9th in Russia, a massive show of military power was displayed, all built in China and fully operational. from small drones to nuclear intercontinental ballistic missiles, from the newest anti-ship technology, read the U.S.'s Sixth Fleet parked off China's and Russia's eastern shores, to anti-stealth weaponry. Take that, American tactical B-2 bombers. Like May 9th, China showed off women soldiers for the first time in a military parade. This is long overdue recognition that neither China nor the Soviet Union slash Russia could have defeated fascism without the Herculean efforts and sacrifices of their female citizens. Numerous Chinese and foreign, including Western, World War II veterans were on hand, being honored and praised. They were all in their 80s and 90s, many in wheelchairs or with canes. Make no mistake about it, this was Xi Jinping's creation from start to finish. Xi's spirit, intentions, and message to the world were all over today's parade. He led the entire event from start to finish. President Putin was the only person on the dais who was honored during the parade by standing next to Xi Jinping while the Russian troops marched below on Tiananmen Square. Other than when Xi was with Putin, during the rest of the parade, he stood and sat and waved to the troops by himself. Xi gets credit for creating this new national holiday, for holding a big parade to commemorate the remembrance, thereby adding a powerful socio-political meme to the Chinese dream and the consciousness of his people. Unlike Putin on May 9th, Xi was the face of the event, giving a longish, passionate speech in support of China's unrecognized contributions to the world's victory over fascism. To underscore this, CCTV, China Central Television, had on as a post-parade guest British historian Dr. Raina Mitter, who has recently released a book called Forgotten Ally, China's World War II, 1937 to 1945. Xi also extolled the critical role of the Communist Party of China, the CPC, in rallying and leading the people to triumph during their 14-year struggle against fascist Japan. Xi skirted around the bragging rights as to who paid the larger price by saying China suffered 35 million casualties, which includes the wounded, while stating that Russia lost 27 million lives in the cause against world fascism. Both countries like to claim that they had the biggest loss of human life. It is safe to say that between these two fraternal communist countries, they suffered about half the world's 100 million World War II casualties, and between them lost close to 40 million citizens. To put this in proper perspective, the United Kingdom and the United States each lost around 400,000, or a total of 800,000 citizens. This is 1/50th, or only 2%, of Russia's and China's combined sacrifices. Thus, tellingly, Russia was the only country named in Xi's keynote speech, although he did collectively thank all the countries that helped China fight against fascism. Xi also wanted his people to remember that it is the CPC that preserved 5,000 years of Chinese civilization and, quote, ended China's national humiliation of suffering successive defeats at the hands of foreign aggressors, end of quote. This, of course, means Western Empire's colonialization of China from the 1840s until liberation in 1949, which included addicting 100 million Chinese to 281,250 metric tons of imported opium and bankrupting the country by stealing 40,625 metric tons of silver during that time frame. So this parade was also a critical expression of Xi Jinping's Chinese dream to move the people beyond this terrible history of colonial exploitation and to look to the future. Xi also pointed out to his people and the world that it is the CPC that will continue to lead China to socialist prosperity, stability, and collective security under the banner of Marxism-Leninism, Mao Zedong thought, Deng Xiaoping theory, the three represents, and the scientific outlook on development. The latter two platforms were developed by former presidents Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao, respectively, who were also in attendance. Jiang and Hu were sitting next to UN General Secretary Ban Ki-moon, a fellow Korean, with President Park Geun-hye. Secretary Ban was dressed down by the Japanese, who don't pass gas without consulting Washington first, for attending today's parade. Who do these colonial fools think they are? Thus, Xi was also sure to remind the world that China will never seek hegemony and expansion, meaning like the West continues to do so, and everybody's international affairs should be conducted through the United Nations Charter, meaning not extrajudicially like NATO does relentlessly across the planet. Surprisingly, Xi used this speech to announce that the PLA will reduce its numbers by 300,000 soldiers in the name of world peace. While lofty sounding, in truth, there has been a lot of talk recently that Xi, who is a PLA soldier himself and as head of the Central Military Commission, is the Army's supreme commander, intends to radically redesign China's military to make it more mobile, responsive, and rapid. This is China's adaptation to the United States' pivot to the Pacific. The pivot is to intensify America's encirclement of the People's Republic and its relentless efforts to overthrow the CPC. All grand plans that Uncle Sam has spent untold billions trying to do since 1949. China, having the world's largest standing army, 2.2 million soldiers, has quite a task to restructure its military. But it would appear this parade will be used as a launching pad to do just that. And how did Western Empire respond to all this? The day before the parade, the United States announced a whole rash of sanctions, what else is new, against Russia, China, Iran, Syria, Sudan, and Turkey for helping Iran to exist. The timing was an obvious riposte to the next day's events. Russia's foreign ministry immediately released a statement that Russia will retaliate, but maybe not in the same fashion. Like during Putin's Beijing visit, sitting down with President Xi and signing 30 bilateral agreements with Putin, saying China is a key partner for Russia, and Russian-Chinese relations are at an historic peak despite illegitimate Western restrictions. And it wasn't only Putin. Fellow socialist President Nicolas Maduro found the time to meet with Xi and sign a new $5 billion loan to help Venezuela expand its oil production. In return, Venezuela will increase its sale of black crude to China from 700,000 barrels a day to 1 million. Xi and Chinese Premier Li Keqiang, who acted as the parade's master of ceremonies, met with the visiting world leaders, signing bilateral agreements left and right. Xi met with Korea's President Park for private talks. This after Uncle Sam had browbeaten and threatened her like a loan shark client not to come and participate in the parade. Mrs. Park speaks quite good Chinese, and the Korean press was calling this visit her, quote, sixth summit with Xi, both of whom were elected as presidents in the spring of 2013. Like Putin, Park is known to have a very good working relationship with Xi, and they like and respect each other. The Korean media supported her visit. It was announced that Park and Xi discussed denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula and restarting the 6+1 talks, which are always constituent pleasers back home. I wonder if that includes any U.S. atom bombs on Korean soil or in Korean waters, along with North Korea's. Given that South Korea is an occupied country with almost 30,000 U.S. soldiers squatting in 9 military bases, and whose American commander even has authority over South Korea's military, we will never know. But the fact that President Park stood up to America's mafia diplomacy surely warms the hearts of both Xi and Putin, whose two countries border North Korea, and its keep-you-guessing diplomacy. Japan and the Philippines were not so courageous. Like good puppets, they did as Washington directed by boycotting the parade. China invited 51 countries, and almost all of them sent their leaders or high-level state dignitaries. Besides the no thank you from Japan and the Philippines, only three countries insulted China by sending their obligatory in-country ambassadors to ambassadors. These were the United States, Canada, and Germany. Interestingly, former Japanese Prime Minister Tomichi Murayama came, as well as British war criminal Tony Blair and Germany's plain-speaking former Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder. Like on May 9th in Moscow, America failed miserably to isolate China, trying to spoil its celebration of one of modern history's most important milestones. Instead of winning the hearts and admiration of 1.3 billion Chinese and countless peoples around the globe by sending Allied troops to march in today's parade, the West has come across looking exactly like what it is, an insecure, scared, and spiteful bully. CCTV reported that the parade was getting heavy coverage across Russia in the state-owned media and will be broadcast in its entirety for the whole country to watch. It was also reported that Russia, quote, sent a huge delegation of officials, end of quote. Just think of all those bridge-building meetings between corresponding Chinese and Russian ministries. And the West, not so much, if not at all. Like the Chinese beaming with pride when the PLA marched against fascism on May 9th, the Moscow parade got massive coverage here. Russians will surely feel just as satisfied seeing their Red Army marching with the Chinese today. So the die is cast. From May 9th in Moscow to September 3rd in Beijing, these two towering leaders of the anti-West order have come full circle. China and Russia are sending an explicit message to the United States and its bootlicking, groveling European allies. We are 26th century brothers and sisters in arms, and our Red Armies and our peoples oppose your fascism and your imperialism. There are a number of links included in the Saker Moscow-Beijing Express article, as well as numerous photos and graphics. So I encourage you to go to www.thesaker.is to read the article, and also to go to www.44days.net to read more about China, Russia, and world events. Thank you very much. Have a great day, and goodbye from Beijing, China.